Not that we take a few troubling things and tweak them, but that we put the whole thing to death. You know, I've talked a little bit over our few weeks together about a little bit about my own story over the last few years. I've talked about my unwillingness to hear about my issues with laziness, a lack of engagement with my kids, my impatience, and I didn't want to hear it because I had convinced myself that I was the good side of those things, right? I've talked before about how I couldn't hear about any time where I was impatient because I had convinced myself that I was a patient person. And so anything that rubs against that, it just can't be true. It's who I was, you see. So if you take them away, then who am I? And see, that's not just stubbornness, and it's not just pride, though it is those things. That's an old way of life, an old way of thinking that needs to die, that needs to be crucified with Christ, as Paul puts it. It's clinging to the idea that I am what I make myself to be. And that's why treating sanctification as just a few things that need to be tweaked is so attractive, because we get to keep that. I am what I make myself to be. I can figure out the places where I need to change what I think, and then I can do it. Figure out the few places where I need to change what I do, and then I can do it. But Paul's boast in Galatians 2 isn't that Jesus changed a few things about me and made me a better person. His boast is that I have died. I have been crucified with Christ. And what lives in me now isn't a new and improved me. It's that I died, and the life that I live now is lived by faith in the Son of God. I am dead, Christ lives in me. What happened to him, as Paul describes it in Galatians chapter 2, what happens to each person who believes in Christ was so transformative and so fundamental that he says he is not who he was anymore. That person is dead. The old self that forged its own way, that decided its own right and wrong, that made himself to be who he wanted to be, that self is dead. Because the way to resurrection is always through crucifixion. The way to life is always through death. And if we've died with Christ, what rises in its place isn't a new and improved version of us, right? Christian me isn't Jeff 2.0. It's Christ who lives in me. That's what it means to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It's not that you're you and you just have some added divine power now. It's that you have died. And your new identity isn't simply a better version of you. It's that you are a new creation in Christ. And whatever good and beautiful thing comes from you now comes from the work and power of the Holy Spirit within you. So what does this look like? What does it look like to have died to the self that we want to make ourselves to be, that we want to forge our own way, decide what is right and wrong, make ourselves be who we are? What does it look like when that person has died and Christ lives within us? Here's where we're going to try to pull together some of the threads that we've been weaving individually as we've gone. It looks a lot like a number of the things we've talked about. It looks like honest confession of sin that doesn't begrudge having to call itself sin. It looks like being ready, willing, and eager to see where we are wrong, actually wanting to see that instead of wanting to hide it or excuse it. It looks like calling our sin, sin, quickly and truthfully. It looks like honestly identifying the situations and the traps where our continuing indwelling sin is most likely to show its head. It looks like naming the escapes that we take when we are nervous or exhausted or anxious or angry or upset or whatever it is. And then developing guards against these things when we find ourselves anxious or tired. It looks like finding strategies and accountability for the places that we sin habitually and regularly. Not hiding these things in the dark, but exposing them to the light. And it looks like developing a love for the good. We so often get so bogged down in talk about sanctification as only stopping doing bad things. And I think we've talked about this before. I think we're covering about 6 weeks worth of stuff here in a few minutes. We get so focused simply on stopping doing bad things, which of course we must. But it's like sitting in a room with a 5-year-old. A room with 3 walls and 1 window on the side. And you're both facing sideways from the window, and it's a big, beautiful day outside. And you look at your 5-year-old and you say, "Whatever you do, don't look out the window." Because when all we're focused on is not doing something, it almost guarantees we end up looking out the window. But if we can focus our energies, our hearts, and our attention, not just on not doing the thing that we want to do, might want to do, but on focusing our attention on developing good practices in our lives, on the kind of love and goodness and truth and mercy that we see in Jesus Christ. I think it's why a little later in Galatians, when Paul discusses the fruit of the Spirit, right? He talks about the work, he talks about the works of the flesh, right? All the things that so easily ensnare us. Let's just go ahead and read it, since we're close by anyway in the same book. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start reading at verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh," again, crucifixion, "with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Now look how he opens it in verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." He names all these things that we ought not do, and he says, you know the way not to do them? Walk by the Spirit. Right. Desire to, want to, long to, cultivate these good things that I give you, these things that embody and show us the perfect and beautiful godly character of Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What does it look like to put those things into practice in our lives? Developing a love for the good. Growth in Christ-likeness is absolutely about mortifying sin. It is also about learning to love and adopt the goodness and beauty of Jesus Christ. That the life we live in the flesh now, we live by faith in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. To give an example, change means stopping lying, sure, if that's an issue for us. It also means falling in love with the truth. It means finding and studying the truth wherever we find it. It means learning to use our words to promote what is good. It means using our words to love our neighbors and praise God. You can stop lying and still be miserable with the way you speak. But when we begin to embrace the love and beauty of Christ, that's when we really see that the life we live by faith in the one who loved us and gave Himself up for us. And so we need to die, and for Christ to come alive in us. Let's pray. Father, it's never easy to put our desires, our way of living, our motivations to death. Yet we need to. Where sin remains in us, show it to us. Help us to put it to death. And let the Spirit who lives in us go to work on us to bring Christ to life in us, in the things that we love, the things that we want, desire in our lives, the way we speak of and worship You, the way we love each other and our neighbors. Let Your truth and goodness and beauty find willing homes in us through Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.